Welcome to IG's Trading in the Markets, and the commodity space, especially metals, has been really hot recently. And joining us to talk about this is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. John, thank you so much for being such a trooper and joining us, even though you've got this shoulder still healing. Copper, as I mentioned earlier, looking really hot, but this is down to this potential output cut in China. Do you think the recent price moves are warranted, given it's still a potential?
Prices are almost always led by either there are supply shocks or there are demand moves. At the moment, what we're seeing is there is a degree of movement in expectations for demand. That's led by, shall we say, ongoing growth in the BRICS region, the developing nations of the world. We're talking Brazil, Indonesia, China, those regions. But at the same time, we've had news this week of supply side cuts from Chinese smelters. Now, Chinese smelters have been having to fight really hard to get hold of copper concentrates coming in from Peru, not coming in from Panama at the moment, and slightly less coming in from Chile. And so the treatment and refining charges have fallen to historically low levels, as reported by Fast Markets, and that tells us that there's a problem with the market, and the Chinese have turned off a few smelters. In fact, some of these have been turned off for some time. So the market has finally understood this. There was news earlier in the week from BYD, the big electric vehicle auto manufacturer, saying that in fact sales were turning up and that demand was increasing again. Much of that's down to the cutting of prices, particularly in China, on their vehicles, and that has stimulated demand. But I think consumer demand was coming back in. It was poor in January and February, and then it's picked up again in March, which is very good news. In the meantime, China is selling a lot of what they're producing in around the rest of the world, not necessarily so much in Europe and the US, although Europe has been a big market for Chinese EVs, but also around countries where you wouldn't necessarily expect it. So that growth is good. What it means is the Chinese can keep those factories going. So we're not just seeing an increase in copper prices, it's increasing nickel prices, increasing lithium carbonate prices. So there's a whole suite of metals that are going to benefit. Even rare earth prices, which have been having a terrible time for the last few years, have actually turned around this week.
Now, John, from a technical viewpoint, I know you're fundamental, not technical, but we are seeing, for copper to continue to rally, it needs to hold at support levels at around 8,860. Just showing you my chart as I've drawn that line there. And 8,716. Do you think, given all the news around copper, and as you rightly said, major Chinese copper smelters having agreed to lower operation rates, do you think we're likely to keep above these price levels?
Yeah, I would be dismayed if the price fell below 8,600, because that would suggest that actually the market was going against copper. And what we've seen is a lot of money piling into long positions on the LME, on Shanghai, and I'm sure they're on COMEX as well, if I had a look. And that says to me that the algorithms, the momentum traders, the hedge funds have generally taken a view that the metal's going better. This is not just being driven by hard demand. I think it's almost always being driven by a degree of speculative activity. And so I'm hopeful that prices will push through $9,000 next week. And I think I would start to be worried if prices fell back through 8,600. Now, I'm not drawing lines on any charts to try and achieve that. I'm just saying what I think would be levels to watch out for.
And when are we likely to see a real recovery in demand for copper? I mean, what kind of triggers or prompts are you looking out for? Is it when the Fed starts cutting interest rates? Is it, are you looking out for example, countries using or basically announcing certain stimulus before we see a real recovery in copper demand?
Well, it's a bit disappointing to see inflation holding stronger than perhaps had been expected. In fact, quite a lot stronger in the US with the numbers this morning. So that is pushing back the likely date for the first cuts in Fed interest rates. And I see nobody's talking about a first cut being followed by a hiatus. What everybody's looking for is a first cut to be followed by several more cuts by the Fed, and of course a whole bunch of cuts by other central banks around the world, because they're all waiting for the Fed to cut first, and then they will all very happily start cutting as fast as they can after that. And then it's just a question of, well, how much do they cut and how fast do they cut? But they're all going to follow the Fed, because whilst the US dollar is weakening slightly, nobody else wants to collapse their currency ahead of the US dollar. So it's a very relative game, and it's a very balanced game here. And of course, as the US dollar weakens, commodity prices will tend to go up in US dollar terms, because they are effectively priced in global currency.
And John, staying with China, another metal that we're looking out for that's been very, very, very volatile and of great interest to our clients here at IG is iron ore. I mean, iron ore losing some 10% on the week due to a really weak demand picture as well, and rising stocks also piling on the pressure. Where do you see iron ore prices headed?
Well, we've been scratching our heads for a while, wondering why the iron ore price was so high, seeing as there wasn't any great news coming out of China on stimulus for the construction sector. Yes, they are financing the completion of lots of blocks of flats, lots of apartments in China, but they're not wholesale bailing out the property companies. Evergrande has gone into administration. Other countries are still other. Big property companies like Country Garden are still struggling, but lots of but the local authorities are effectively taking over and finishing many of these apartment blocks according to a sort of priority system, which is very sensible. Property prices in China are still falling month on month, which is probably good news and probably needed for the guys who want to buy those flats. I think there's going to be a certain amount of redevelopment, because many of these flats were designed under the old one-child policy in China, which has now been scrapped. And in fact, the Chinese government needs to create more affordable housing for larger families. So that means more bedrooms, more space in these apartments, and more affordability. Now, the great thing is that the Chinese government seems to be working towards these aims. In fact, probably better than many of our own governments in the West. So it'll be very interesting to watch to see how they actually manage to do that. But it looks like they're pulling all the right levers. It was sad that President Xi didn't do a big conference at the end of their 2-week Communist Party session to tell us more about what they were doing. But I guess they want to keep some of their ideas and their plans secret. And I think really what we read from that is that China. They didn't want to change too much. They don't want to take too much debt. They don't want to rack up the government debt holdings in the way that they have in the past. I think they just want to tweak everything a bit and try and make it a little bit easier to finance the completion of these apartments, whilst not collapsing the economy. So it's more of the same, but all going in the right direction. And frankly, I think what we're looking at, if you combine that with Fed rate cuts that are coming later this year, or likely to come later this year, that we're probably going to get a degree of global growth. Now, that doesn't include what's going on in Ukraine and what's going on in Europe, which is very slow at the moment, and definitely the sick man of the world. But let's say that European economy starts to recover, then actually there's going to be quite a degree of coordinated global growth going on. And we haven't seen that since 2004, 2005. And if you remember what happened with global markets then, things took off in quite spectacular fashion until, of course, Lehman Brothers blew up. So we're not trying to forecast the next black swan event, but I think what we can forecast is that the world is becoming a better place. The world is starting to grow more than it has done for a few years, and that the risk, is perhaps on the upside rather than the downside.
Well, I hope you're right, John, because I remember the Lehman Brothers period very well. Gold is actually one that is performing rather well. Recent US data pointing to hotter than expected inflation, and that essentially sort of made its rally stutter slightly, sending gold towards its first weekly drop in 4 weeks. Just showing you my chart here because you can see that ramp up under my upward red trend line there. But you can see in the last few sessions, we've had a mix of buyers and sellers in the market, and it has come off pretty hot levels. We had someone from a technical analyst view, Ron Williams, who joined us yesterday, who still said that all things remaining equal this week, that the next level could possibly be 2,700. From a fundamental point of view, do you agree with this, or do you think gold actually is going to come back down before pushing higher?
I think gold is still going upwards because it's looking to predict what the US dollar is going to do. And the reason why gold has got to where it is this week is nobody's quite sure where to put their money in this environment. If the Fed's going to cut rates, then the US dollar is likely to go down. Everybody else is going to cut rates, which including the Chinese, which means all their currencies are going to follow the dollar down. Nobody quite knows what the relative values are going to be at the end of the day. Bitcoin's going up, so that's looking kind of expensive at the moment, and that's probably being driven by a sort of Bitcoin carry trade out of China. So where do you put your money? And at the end of the day, gold is a beneficiary of that. We are also seeing news on central banks loading up on gold again, and that's probably partly because they're not quite sure who's going to have the best currency going forwards. So in it, with this sort of uncertainty around, I could see gold quite easily going through $2,200 an ounce. Maybe not all the way to 2,700, but certainly pushing higher from where we are now.
Thank you very much, John Mayer. They're talking gold, copper, and iron ore with us here at IG. This is IG's Trading Markets. For more analysis, do join me on at IG.com and also at Angeline Ong on Twitter. This is IGTV.